Okay, we are now officially muted. Dan Hollins, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Wonderful. Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay, we're all there. And I don't think we have any other guests, right?
Don't believe so.
Okay, don't answer that quickly again, please. Yeah, I want to. Okay, well, welcome, everyone. This is going to be a really special call. We've had calls with Dan Hollins before. This one, I think, is going to be fabulous. Actually, I know it would be fabulous, unless, of course, it's not fabulous, then everyone can get mad at me later. But you're going to have your time well invested today. There's a lot we're going to try to cover. Those of you that don't know who Dan Hollins is, he created 100% of the Internet marketing from the very beginning for the launch of The Secret. He no longer works with The Secret. That's a whole other story. But nonetheless, he set up the foundation for that to become a massive multi-million dollar huge campaign, probably the largest self-help campaign, one of the largest, if not the largest, in history. And Dan works with all kinds of famous people, from, you know, Montel Williams and Jack Canfield to all kinds of normal, everyday people, to business owners like myself at Piranha Marketing, to many of service businesses in all kinds of different industries, many different niches such as, you know, MLN, to publishing, book authors, speakers, to service businesses and brick-and-mortar businesses. He has expansive knowledge in the area of all kinds of things related to the Internet. And, again, those of you that were at our Platinum Plus meeting, the one we just did, Dan spoke, and I always hear nothing but glowing things. He also did a special session at the Success with Sanity event, and that was just an awesome event. Many of you that are listening today were there. And so there's lots of questions that came up, and including at the special session that we did at Success with Sanity, we weren't able to answer a lot of the questions that were related to the report that Dan wrote, which are the top 10 top secret Internet assets and strategies for anyone in a local area service business. And so here's what we're going to do today, and this is after discussion with Lisa, Dan, listening to what our members are asking about, talking about, emailing us about, writing about on Piranha Central and all kinds of stuff, is they still have lots of questions to how to do all this Internet local search stuff. And so some people have really embraced it and are kind of doing it and doing really well with it and getting well positioned on the search engines and doing a lot of local search stuff, and other people have no clue what to do and where to start. So we're going to do a call that will be in some ways maybe redundant for some people that are already doing it, but I think you're going to learn some new things. And for those of you, for the large majority, this is just going to be really good, valuable stuff, and it will play off of the report that Dan wrote. So all of you that are in the coaching club already have this report, and you can download it at joepolish.com/Dan. That's still where it's at, right, Dan?
That's it.
Okay. And so if you, after we're done with this teleseminar, I would encourage you to read that report again, even if you've read it five times. Read it again. It will make that much more sense. And we can go a little bit longer if we need to, although I'm going to do my best to knock out the questions that we have here, Dan, within the time period. And if we have to, we'll just go into a follow-up, because this literally could be a multi-step call, because this information is so valuable. So is it okay? Is there anything about you that needs to be said in order to give anyone else a better background of who Dan Hollins is? Because I know I just did a really quick bio there.
No, that was excellent.
Okay, yeah. Most people that are listening know you. And anyway, so here we go. All right. I'm gonna attempt to do these questions, Dan, based on your top 10 local Internet marketing strategies report. Okie dokie?
Sounds good.
Okay, and I'm going to ask some of them as if I'm a total idiot and I don't know what's going on, because that's actually quite true in a lot of ways. And I'm also going to, I'm just going to try to answer them in a way that is most applicable to everyone, or ask them, not answer them, you're going to answer them. I'm going to ask the questions in a way that I feel are most applicable to the people listening. If we have time for Q&A, we'll do it. If we don't, we'll just knock out what we can. So everybody make sure you have pen and paper at hand and you take really good notes here, because you're going to have action steps as a result of this call. We're not just going to talk about Internet stuff. We're going to give you stuff specifically on what to do, how to do it, that will put money in your pocket, not only quickly, but forever, as long as you maintain what we're going to talk about. Okay. So on the Internet, Dan, I understand most people find things by searching, you know, going to Google, going to Yahoo, going wherever, and searching. But can you explain how we go about making ourselves or our business findable. Use a term in your report which is findable, and I like that. I don't know if the word findable is in the dictionary, but how do you make yourself findable so people can find you?
Yeah, I tried to find that in the dictionary, and it wasn't findable.
That's funny.
All right. Okay. Actually, the first part of trying to use the Internet for any type of marketing, local or global, is indeed understanding what's going on in the mind of your ideal customer. And you have to start there, and it's somewhat kind of the psychology of what's going on in their head at that point in time that they might need your service. And just to give you a feel for the kinds of things that you're trying to think about, it's like this. It's like there's a conversation that's going on in the mind of your ideal customer. They're talking to themselves. There's some reason that they may need your service, or sometimes there's an event that's occurred. Maybe something's broke in their house, or maybe they've spilled something on their carpet, or they just need some type of local service, person to come to their home. So that could be going on in their head. The other thing is that they may have a problem. There's some challenge that they have, either with themselves, their family, their pets, or their house, or their car, or something that they need a solution to. So the first part of Internet marketing really doesn't have anything to do with the Internet at all. It has to do with what's going on in the mind of the person that would be your ideal customer. So you need to think about that. And it's important for you to think about marketing to one person or one type of person rather than, as many do, they figure they're going to try to market to the whole world at the same time or their whole community or their whole city at the same time. I think you'll be better off to think of your marketing plan on the Internet as focusing on what would be your ideal customer and what are they thinking about, what's the kind of situation they might be in where they would need to get a hold of you, what's going on in their mind, and what conversation may be there. So that's the first thing that you have to do. So let's take an example because it'll be easier to understand this. And I'll use an actual example that happened to me recently. I heard this loud boom in my house one night and found out the next morning that the spring in my garage door opener had popped, and I got in my car to leave, and the garage door opener wouldn't go up. So all of a sudden, I've got this challenge. I can't get out of my house, and I need a service person. So what do? I go to the Internet, and I do a search. So what you need to do is you need to think in your mind, whatever the business is that you do or whatever the services are that you offer, what situation would cause a person to need to get a hold of you and would drive them to the Internet in which to do that. By doing this, what it does is it gets you to thinking about the types of words, the keywords, the phrases, and things that they would type into a search box. And by understanding that, then it begins to help you to know where you need to have your business show up. So think through those things and start writing down those situations and start writing down the kinds of keywords and words and phrases that a person might type into a search box. Now, in my situation, I wish I had kept notes at the time I did this, but, I started doing searches for garage door openers, garage door springs, my garage spring is broken. I didn't even know what the name of the part was. Exactly. So I was just typing in all kinds of things. You need to do that, and you need to do that with a search engine in front of you and start to look at what kind of results come up. Now, here's the secret, and this is the secret number one in my report. The secret is people often are not looking for the best price, or even many times they're not looking for even an immediate solution. What they're looking for, they're using the web kind of as a neighbor whereby they can kind of lean over the fence and they can say, you know, our carpets are really, really need cleaning. Who is it that you know, in the city here that's good at cleaning carpets? You see, in a lot of searches, instead of people looking directly for the provider or the local business, a lot of times they're looking for someone's opinion to point them in the right direction. And the reason that they do this is because they don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to bring somebody to their home that baits and switches them or doesn't do a good job or what have you. So you need to think about that when people are searching for you, sometimes they're going to go through kind of a back door or side door, which is a referral pass. And you need to think, what would they be typing in to a search box if indeed they were looking for someone to tell them, someone to recommend to them who might be, you know, a good service provider. So everything that I've talked about here is an internet strategy, but it actually would work offline as well. But what it is you have to crawl into the mind of your perfect buyer, your perfect customer, and begin to think about what events are going on in their life or in their head that would cause them to actually, you know, want to go to the internet and find out what it is that you're looking for. So that's it. That's being findable.
Yeah, you know, and what I really like about that is, because you said this is not about websites, this is not about anything other than psychology. And there's a great line in the Robert Collier Letter book, which anyone that's studied any sort of copywriting or has listened to me for any period of time has heard me say this many times. This fabulous line out of the Robert Collier Letter book is that you want to enter a conversation that already is existing in your prospect's mind. And so what you just said about the garage door thing, when I'm looking for something, I will simply go into Google if I'm doing a search and literally type a question, you know, how to use a computer.
Yes.
You know, how to, I'm trying to switch over to using an Apple computer, and I'm still kind of have a foot stuck in both worlds right now because I use both. And so I find myself typing in literally questions, and, you know, all kinds of good things are found there. But, you know, in your report, in the very first section, it says, be mindful, be findable. There's a couple things that I highlighted in your report that says, it says, plant yourself and your message in those findable spots. Next, don't think of the internet as an advertising medium. Rather, think of it as a relationship-building medium, plus a bit of a rumor mill, if you like. So whenever possible, let other people and other sites deliver your message and tell your story. Then it goes on to give questions. First, understand the mindset of whom you want to find you. Then think from their perspective what person or service they hope to find. Then think about how you can leverage others, other sites, other people, other companies to help you deliver your message. Now, what I'd like to encourage people to do is to use your report very much like a workbook, because it's filled with a lot of good questions. There's real specific links. It's a great reference guide. I mean, there's the websites are there, everything is there. Plus, I love the analogies that you use in your report. I mean, the writing style I think is fabulous, and you make it very easy for people to understand what is very complex. The point is that understanding the mindset of who it is you're trying to sell something or offer something to is the first step before you build everything else. And so that's what being findable is all about. So having said that, let's go on to the second thing, which is think local search. And the question I have for you is, when I do searches or when people do searches like Google, Yahoo, whatever, that, you know, I will get national results at sometimes, and other times I get local results. And so I wanted to ask you, how does this work, and where should someone, you know, basically with a, you know, a local business be listed? How do they put themselves in there?
Okay. It is a curious thing, and I think a lot of people don't even realize that there are two, in essence, search results type pages that Google or Yahoo or MSN will present to you. And it's triggered by what you put into the keyword search box. Anytime Google can ascertain from what you type into the box that you're probably looking for something local, then they're going to serve to you a local search results page rather than the general global or national search results page. And here's a good way to test that. think of what your primary, keyword might be. I'll use carpet cleaner as an example. If you just go to Google and type in carpet cleaner, you may get ads or listings that are talking about national products that you might order and buy from online websites that they can ship them to you, and you can maybe do it yourself and things like that. It's not going to give you your local carpet cleaner or any of those listings because Google doesn't know that you're looking local. You haven't given them any clues. But if you put in any type of a location element, such as a zip code, a community, a state, a neighborhood name, or anything like that, then if Google can figure out that's a location, then they will serve you local results. Also, if you happen to be doing the search on a mobile phone, then they will more often than not assume that you must be looking for something that's local, because generally people that use mobile phones are out and about, and if they're searching for something, they're looking for something in the local area where they're at.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me stop you there for a minute.
Okay.
Just because immediately someone's like, I don't do searches on a mobile phone. I mean, what the heck is he even talking about, searches on a mobile phone? I make phone calls. I'm totally computer illiterate. What are you talking about, phone calls or on a mobile phone? So could you quickly address that, because you know probably more than anyone, and from the invention of the iPhone, which was your very first cell phone, because you're like totally a Mac dude, and I think that's cool because Mac is so innovative in what they're doing. The future of a lot of this is going to be carried around in people's hands and in their pockets, not sitting on a laptop or a desktop, so address that real quickly.
Okay, there's a real education if you go to google.com/mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E. You'll actually see, and you can go there either on your mobile handset or in your computer browser, but you'll see that they offer up for people that are out and about, search, maps, Gmail, automated phone systems that will actually call a local business for you. You can pull up YouTube, you can do SMS text messages. All of this stuff is available for you through Google, and there's a lot of information about that at google.com/mobile. Now, here's the thing. You have to engage in this yourself. If you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, you need to engage in this and start looking for services and businesses yourself using these different methods so that you can begin to understand how your customers might find you. Don't think things like, well, I don't use my mobile for that, and so I'm not going to worry about it. I would recommend that you purposely start, try to order a pizza through your cell phone. Try to do a search for, a local, car repair shop or something through your mobile, and begin to experience it. Because if you experience it, then you'll be educating yourself as to what your potential customers will go through. There are a large number, a significant number of people that are now using cell phones to find things locally because everyone has a cell phone on them. In fact, I have something here, if I can find it. Listen to this. So this will amaze you. Think about the automobile. It's been around for 100 years, and there are 800 million automobiles out there. Okay? Now, let's think about something else that's kind of common. Landline telephone, been around for over 100 years as well. And there's 1.3 billion of those out there. All right? Think about something like a TV set, been around for 60 years, and there's 1.5 billion of them out there. I'm talking about the whole world. But yet the mobile phone has been around for about 35 years, and there are 2.7 billion of them. That means that in less time than the automobile or the landline phone or the television set, that in less time, in fact, one-third the time, there are 2.7 billion. That is twice. I mean, it's just so unbelievable. Basically, 60% percent of the whole world has a cell phone on them in their pocket, and a large number of them have access to the Internet. So this is something that you've got to start thinking about, and I know our topic today isn't totally about mobile, but when we're talking about what's in the mindset of a person and how do they get a hold of you and what means do they search, many times it can be mobile. What happens if you have a flat tire? You're not going to go home and boot up your computer. You don't have it with you. You're going to pick up your phone, and you're going to start searching for somebody right there on your phone in order to do that. And though it can be different as compared to an iPhone and maybe, you know, some other type of brand phone, most of the phones today, you know, have some type of Internet connectivity or at least the ability to text message and a lot of things like that. So you know, that's something for a complete separate topic, but it's amazing the penetration that the telephone has out there, and so therefore it's something that definitely I would look into when it comes into being available for search.
No, that's awesome, and so thank you for addressing that. And saying that, I want everyone to know that this, you know, from listening to what you're hearing Dan talk about, using his report and reading it will enhance what he's talking about, and vice versa. You know, this teleseminar goes with the report goes with this teleseminar. So just taking everything that he's talking about here will put you literally in a position of understanding and using the Internet and your websites and the other things we're going to get to at probably a far greater rate than 99% of every business owner out there. I mean, I'm in the marketing business. I do a lot of consulting and stuff, and most people simply don't even do the simple stuff that you've covered in this report here. And to go back to it, when we're talking about local search, you have one line in here that says, you know, often in our fascination with the Internet's bigness and scope, we fail to realize how powerful a tool it can be on a small scale locally. It's almost like thinking, hey, this might be a great telescope, but looky here, if I do it this way, it's a great microscope. And I love that analogy, so talk about that.
It is. For local, I think everybody has the tendency to think that you go online, you type in a keyword, and it finds stuff all around the world. And it does do that, but it could not be a better microscope. And if someone types in a keyword related to the businesses or services or products that you have, and they happen to include a city or a zip code or a community name or something like that, the Internet is going to focus in just on that area. And within that area, this is the good news. You're going to find that the competition, in order to end up on first page results, is extremely weak in most niche areas. Now, some of the exceptions might be real estate. A lot of real estate people have gotten good at local search. But as you go across most other niches, the competition is very weak, and it's like there's good news and the bad news. Is the good news the bad news is that you might not be on the first page of the Google results, but that's the bad news. But the good news is that your competition isn't there either, and you'll probably be able to get there a lot faster as a result of this report. So what I want you to do as far as the action item on this whole idea of thinking local and beginning to explore how local search works is go and try to find your business right now today in the search engines. Try it in Google. Try it in Yahoo. You can try it in MSN Live Search and see if you can find your business. You may find the only way you can find it is to type in the physical street address. And that's not good because most of your customers aren't going to know that. But see if you're in there at all. And if you're not, then definitely you need to read this report and start figuring out how to get in there. But this is the key. It's not that you get in the search engine and you're like in just this one spot like you would be in a Yellow Pages. You know, in Yellow Pages, your ad or listing is in there in one spot, and that's it. On the Internet, your listing is in there, but it's in there dynamically, meaning it may come up when they type in this keyword phrase, and it might come in when you type in this keyword. It may come up in all different kinds of scenarios and be listed on the page, sometimes number one, sometimes not at all, sometimes at the bottom of the page, but it's dynamically inserted because Google and the other search engines will try to deliver to the searcher what they feel is the best matched result based on the keyword that they put in there. So it's kind of like a game. In fact, if you make it a game, it can be fun. You figure out where it is that you want to be findable. In other words, what keyword someone might type in where you want to show up on that first page. And then you go about your strategy. It's like a game almost. And what we have here in these 10 strategies is the game plan. And you go about it, and you do these specific things, and you keep working at it until you win the game by appearing on page one of the results. And there's only 10 results on page one, so all you have to do is become one of those 10, and then you're the winner. You can always perfect it and get on up to number one or number two, which is great, but if you can just get on page one, you're the real winner. But here, listen to this. If you get to be number one, talking about mobile, if you get to be number one, Google has this thing called Goog 411, where if you pick up your telephone, your mobile phone, and you type in G-O-O-G 411, it'll say what town, and you tell them, and it'll say what company or what service or what are you looking for. And here's the magic. If you're number one, let's say you were number one under the keyword, carpet cleaner, then Google will automatically connect you by phone, that customer, direct to your business or your free recorded message. And that's the goal of being number one in Google, is that you automatically become the recommended business on their phone system. And you'll see more about that, if you go to google.com/mobile and just look for Goog 411. It's really fun to play with that.
You know, and also, Dan, I want to mention this, too, about one of the benefits of getting yourself positioned locally in setting up what it is you've listed in the report, is that not only will you be advertised and promoting yourself and generating money, but you'll also become more knowledgeable on how to find what it is you're looking for. Because, see, anyone that uses the Internet to try to find and locate stuff, which is almost like everyone listening to this teleseminar, by doing this, you will learn a better ways how to locate resources for yourself. And day in, day out, it doesn't matter what business you're in. I mean, we're talking about carpet cleaning here as an example, but it doesn't matter what business you're in. This applies to anyone that has anything to do with local business. And you're already looking for things on the Internet all day long. I mean, in one of your, let me see if I can find it because I flipped the page, on the very first page it says, whether you're marketing a product, a service, or even playing the dating game, this step or a close variation is critical to your success. It doesn't much matter what it is you're looking for on the Internet. The more you know about how to find things, the better. And the more that you position yourself to be findable, the better, because people are out there all day long in your community looking for your service. They are. And the question is, are they going to find you, or are they going to find one of your competitors? And how many, hurdles do they have to jump in order to find you? So by doing all of this stuff, you're not only setting yourself up to be findable, but you're also learning a tremendous amount about how to locate the things that you're looking for. Because really, what do we do every day? We get up and we look for stuff, and we try to find things that are going to benefit us. And a lot of people, they don't take the time to learn how to do this, and so therefore have employees that find them things in a less efficient manner that they pay for, that you can find for free on the Internet if you simply know what is located in your report here. That if you do it for yourself, you can automatically get a simultaneous education on how to be a great researcher.
No, that's really true, and I would suggest that you start watching what you do as well, because what you're doing is probably what your customers are doing, and the frustrations and the successes that you experience in searching online are lessons to be learned. And honest to God, I wish I had taken notes of all the times I've used the Internet to find things, for my home. I just had my solar panels up on my roof repaired today because they started leaking. Water runs up there to heat the pool, and I needed to find, a service. And I had the most difficult time, and I'm good at search, finding the particular company that did the type model solar panels that I have. And all that I went through, was a lesson for me to learn. Now, the action steps on this one, Joe, which I think are really important, that I want to make sure we hit upon before we go on, they actually are on page 8 of the report. And really what you should do is make sure that your business is listed in each of the search local search engine business areas. So you can go to Google Local, that's at local.google.com, and you can add your business there. You can do the same at Yahoo Local, which is local.yahoo.com, and you can do the same at MSN, which is local.live.com, and you can add your business there. And when you add your business, go there with some time so that you can do a really good job. Don't think you can do this in 10 minutes and you're just be on with your day. Sit down at a point in time in the day where you've got an hour, because this is the most important step. Because if they find your listing or they go to your page, you want that page within Google's business area to be ready. You want it to have reviews. You want it to have a picture of you or your business. You want it to have the correct address, and you want it to have, you know, testimonials. You can set up coupons there and give discounts, and there's all these things that you can do. It's like having the Yellow Page salesperson come over to your house and saying, hey, guess what? You can have the whole book, anything you want to do. Just put it in there. It's free, and you got an hour to do it. Just do it. There's no cost for any of this. So don't cheat yourself by giving yourself too little time to do this right. And if it's technically a little challenging for you, and by the way, it's nothing but, you know, typing in just, you know, name and putting a, you know, links to your site and pictures. I mean, it's pretty simple. But if it's too challenging, find someone that can do it for you, and then just make sure you provide them with all of the information they need to put it in there.
Yeah, and you could find someone on, like, you know, Odesk.com or Elance or whatever to do this stuff if you wanted to. And then before, all that is listed. All the links that Dan gave out are right there in his report under Think Local Resource List. So it's the number 2 section. Just go there. They're all listed right there. You can click on them. It'll immediately take you there, and he lays out exactly what to do. Add your business, you know, City Info USA search, and local.com. He gives examples. So they're all right there. And check that out. If you haven't already done that, go ahead and do it. Okay. The third section is the keys to your local success. So my question to you is, if the trick is to be findable in our local area, then it seems the keywords are important. So can you talk about this and how the listeners can go about finding the best keywords?
Yes. The steps to actually get this done, okay, are in my report on page 10, where it's actually tells you step by step, little check boxes that you can go through. But let me share it with you verbally, just pretty much what the process is. You're not trying to come up with hundreds of keywords. And when I say keywords, what I mean is phrases. Most people that search for something will type in 2 or 3, maybe 4 words, or even a whole little sentence, a question, like what you had mentioned you do sometimes earlier. And so what you want to do is you want to start by thinking, what are the core keywords, the seeds that my whole business is about? And in the report, I listed just some samples, of which I have carpet cleaning service, carpet cleaner service, best carpet cleaning, home rug cleaning. In other words, what would it be that a person would type in whereby if your listing came up, that searcher would go, aha, that's what I'm looking for. And keep in mind that sometimes people are looking for things that are very specific. Maybe, how to clean a Berber carpet. They may be putting brand names in. They may want to have someone come and do the carpet that's using, environmentally, safe, cleaners. They may be looking for someone to clean the carpets that specializes in pet owner situations and stuff like that. So you figure out what are the core keyword phrases that would bring you the type of client or customer that you're ideally looking for. This can be done first yourself. Then ask friends, neighbors, people that kind of know what you do. You know, just say, you know, what would you type into a search engine if you were looking for my services, and see what they come up with. Okay, there's not like a right and wrong answer, but what you want to do is to hone this down to maybe eight to ten keyword phrases that you can focus on. Now, if you'd like to take that list of seed keywords and expand it a bit, I have a link to a tool that's in the report, or you can also go to this web address, go2468.com/keywords. So go2468.com/keywords. That will take you to an online tool where you can enter in the seed keywords that you've come up with, and it will look into actual databases of some of the search engines that are out there, and it will bring back to you the results of what people are actually typing in. Then you can make some decisions. Like, for example, maybe you put in carpet cleaning, and you'll find out that maybe 200 people a day search for that, but carpet cleaner, maybe there's 300 a day that search for that. So you can tell by looking at the numbers which one you might want to focus on first. Your strategy and your campaign in making yourself findable online will start by picking one keyword phrase that you want to be found for, doing all the things I have in the report for that one keyword phrase, and then once you come up on the first page for that keyword phrase, then you move on to your next keyword. And I think that's one of the things in the report that a lot of people don't get, is that you want to tackle each keyword phrase one at a time, work on that to get you up on the first page of results for that keyword phrase, and once you're there, then move on to the next one. You could literally do this and have yourself coming up under every type of keyword phrase that someone might type in. Now, the only thing that you have to do to take this to the local step, which is what you want, obviously you're never going to come up under carpet cleaning service, because that's, you know, would be somebody looking for carpet cleaning service, you know, under a global search. Yours would have to be carpet cleaning service Tempe, Arizona. So that's the kind of customer that you're looking for, someone that's typing in the Tempe, Arizona, or the zip code, or their neighborhood. So you're going to take your keyword phrase and combine it with some type of a localization phrase, and then that's the ideal customer that you're looking for.
Yeah, and now that's, if someone goes through your report and does exactly what you laid out here, you teach them step by step on how to do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I already know that. I'm asking that like I don't know that, but I just want that to be very clear for someone who's not gone through the report and done this. And there's one line that you actually have that I highlighted that says, you need not have any special talents to do this stuff, just the knowledge of what to do and where to do it.
Correct.
And that's basically, so what else would you say? You also have the number three section, how to find the keywords and phrases people are typing. And I would encourage everyone to go through this list of questions, and there's like a checkbox. And that alone is a good, you know, just sounding board for you to go through and determine what is it you do, and it'll really give you some very good food for thought. I mean, there's things in here like, remember, people are not always good spellers. Misspelled keywords can be golden. You know, then you talk about examine your competition's page title, headlines, and meta tags. All browsers allow you to view source code and find keyword meta tags near the top, and you can explain meta tags in a bit because the next thing I'm going to ask you about, we'll cover that. So what else in that section would people need to be aware of?
You know, the thing that's really neat is you have to get into those secondary strategies when you're in a very competitive field. If you happen to be in real estate, which is really tough to get on first page results because there's so many realtors and they spend a lot of their time, you know, optimizing for that. Things like spelling mistakes can be a great way. You know, there's a lot of people that would search for a realtor and would spell realtor wrong. And so who cares if they spell realtor wrong? There may not be as many people trying to get on the first page search results for realtor spelled wrong. And so therefore, you're not going to have much competition. Now, again, there's just a few industries that are really tough, and real estate is one of them. And carpet cleaning, I think, would be a little bit easier because there's just not as many of them in an area, and then most of them aren't really optimizing their site or even aware that they could get on the first page of the results. So that's a very good thing. But looking at your competition, excellent way. You can actually go to their site. I'll answer your question on the meta tags. If you go to anybody's web page, up in the top part of your menu bar, up at the top someplace, I don't know exactly where, it depends on whether you're a PC or a Mac, one of the menus says View Source, okay? And if you don't or can't find that, just do a Google search for how to view source on a PC or how to view source on a Mac, and it'll tell you exactly how to do it. With your particular computer and browser. But here's what happens. Every web page is presented to you more or less like a picture. Looks nice, very pretty. And if you view source, it actually shows you the code that the programmer used to create that page. And you don't have to worry about programming and everything, but if you look up at the very top of the view source, there's a little area where most sites put their keywords. And you can look at those keywords, and sometimes those keywords can spawn ideas for you to use keywords. And that's kind of a tricky little way to look at your competition to see what they're optimizing for. But I'll tell you this. Here's the bigger problem. The bigger problem isn't finding lots of really relevant, good keywords. The bigger problem is honing them down to the 8 or 10 that you really want to focus on. And you need to put some deep thought into that. And, again, it gets back to what we talked about in step number one. Thinking about that conversation or that situation that's going on in the mind of your perfect customer, and what would they be typing in? You need to come up with the best 8 or 10 and go for those people first and just work and work and work to get those keywords. Then you can expand, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to find thousands of keyword phrases that could work for your company, but you just want to pick out the best 8 to 10 that you want to dominate for first.
Yeah, and you know, those of you that use Piranha Central, that you know, the PMA questions that we've had listed up there, those 25 questions that you go through and think through about your clients, any of you that have gone through that exercise have already done a lot of this thinking. And you know, you've had to do a lot of this thinking in order to embrace the Piranha marketing strategies, because so much of what we teach is just the psychology of how to communicate, who to communicate to, what you're saying, who they are, what they're looking for, what pains, frustrations that exist. And again, I cannot encourage everyone enough to think about your own daily experience. When you're sitting online and you're looking for something, what do? I mean, you sit and you think about what it is you're looking for. Well, your prospects are out there doing the same exact thing. And the more that you can identify what it is that they're going to look for and how they're going to find it, the better you are to take what's written in Dan's report and set it up and have great success with it. Okay, I'm going to try to speed through this a little bit, Dan, because there's okay. So much I want to ask you, and I want to see if we can cover all of it on here, because there's so much good stuff here. I just want to, again, reiterate, if we go by something too quickly and you don't totally get it, it's written in Dan's report, that everything we're talking about will just enhance and make it that much easier for you to understand. Tags. You have a section called Prepare for the Big Red Tag Sale. And so sometimes, you know, I hear people call keywords tags, or I'll be reading a blog and I'll notice it has tags associated with each blog post. So can you explain tags and what they are as compared to keywords?
Yes. If you open up your filing cabinet and you were going to take your business and what it does and stick it into folders, tags would be the names that would be on these folders. In other words, a tag is the category in which your product, your service, or your business belongs. It's a much broader bucket, so to speak, that holds what you do, whereas a keyword is a very specific thing. It's exactly what your customer is looking for at the moment and what they type in that search box. Now, here's why tags are important. Think more of a tag as a category. The reason tags are important is because in the blogosphere, as it's called, which just really means out in that area where people are blogging, they do a lot of things based on tags. So that when you make a post on a blog, along with that blog post, the blogging software will ask for you to list tags. And the reason is because the way search engines work with blog posts is that they'll come over to your blog and they can't actually read what you just wrote. So what they'll do is, I'm talking about the computer robot that comes over to try to figure out what you're up to so that they can put you in their search engine. Well, when this computer robot comes over, it's called a spider, and gets there, it will look at your tags. And if your tags have the categories that are related to the topic of that particular post, then the search engine knows where to stick you so that if a person is searching for something that's about carpet cleaning or searching something that's about, you know, pizza making or whatever, that they're going to put your post in the right category. So as you're doing your keyword research, you may as well go ahead and think about what are the tags or the categories that my business falls in. So a category would be something like carpet cleaning. That would be a category. It could be something like home rug cleaning. That could be a category. So it's a bit broader. It is a category. That's a tag. Go ahead and put together a list of, you know, 8 to 10 tags and have those ready, and then you're going to find that you're going to use those tags when you do things in the blog area, whereas you're going to be using your keywords when you do things in the regular search engine area and with your web pages. You'll start noticing all around, and as we go into this report a bit more, and start doing some stuff that's called Web 2.0, often the site will ask for you to enter your tags here. So since if you just think of a tag as a category, you'll be good and have your categories already set aside on a little list someplace, and then you can just copy-paste them in as you do your blogging or Web 2.0 posting.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm going to ask you about 2.0 stuff in a minute here.
Yep.
But first I want to – well, let me also mention, if there's anyone that's listening and they're like, oh, my God, you know, this Internet stuff, because I also have to think of myself. You know, it took me quite a while and still does for me to grasp a lot of the Internet stuff, because I'm predominantly have always been an offline marketer. And just recently I realized that the complexity that I had in my own brain about understanding this Internet stuff was not because it's really all that complicated, but it was that I was making it complicated, because I, you know, look at it as if, you know, this thing that needs to be done, and I don't know how to do it. And then I realize that, you know, I do this all the time. I go on the Internet, I search for stuff, I look for stuff, and if I think about my own behavior, then all the things you're talking about, it seems to make sense. So here's what I would encourage for people that, you know, would rather talk about, you know, I just want to go out and get a job, I don't want to learn how to do all this Internet stuff. Realize that, well, for one, if you're going to live in the modern day and take advantage of the delivery systems that can bring customers and clients to you on a regular basis and not have to spend an arm and a leg or pay someone through the nose to actually do this stuff for you, you're well served to at least have an understanding of this to the point where you can delegate it to someone. Because as long as you get and understand this, you can hand this report off to your web person and say, here's the things that I want to do. But you don't want to abdicate the responsibility. You want to actually delegate it, and that requires you to have a certain level of understanding. But having said that, you know, there's the section where you have, I think it's what, page 8, where you show people how to, you know, the Think Local resource list. There are web designers out there that I would venture to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, that probably charge business owners several hundred to several thousand dollars to do the stuff that you have simply laid out here in this report that someone can do in less than an hour.
There's no question. And get this. If you were to go and ask them to do this for you on your mobile, they could be talking $5,000 to $10,000, because all the stuff that's just starting to occur in the mobile marketplace is back like when the Internet just started. It used to be local business would go out and try to get a website done, and the developers and the programmers, they would just charge outrageous. Now, over time, it's come down, and you can get it done, you know, very inexpensive. Now, in the mobile marketing area, it's all starting over again. There are plenty of places that you can go online and try to get a mobile website set up and do all of this kind of stuff. And some of these places are going to tell you it's going to cost $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Well, forget that, folks. You can do it for free in most cases, or you can get someone to help you with it for a very reasonable fee. So be careful.
And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because, you know, just knowing and understanding how to do this will end up saving you more money in the future than what it's costing you to learn this. And, you know, by like 100 times.
Yep.
And there are people that will always take advantage of the ignorant people that don't know how to do this. And when I say ignorant, I don't mean stupid people. There's a lot of very smart, savvy business owners that pay a fortune to have this stuff done because they don't even understand the basics of what we're giving you here.
Let me give you some hope out there because, you know, number one, I've never taken a single computer course. I'm a one-finger typer. I'm not a two-finger typer. One finger. I hunt and peck all over the place. And, you know, my degree's in music. And none of the stuff that's in this report requires that you be able to do anything other than just click some links to go to certain places and be able to type in information that's related to or about your business, your products, your services, and the customers that you want to find. That's what it's all about. It's not programming. It's not design. It's not anything that's really, you know, odd. It's some pretty basic stuff, and the report will tell you right where to go, right what to do, and throughout the entire report, you will never have to spend one penny.
Yep, exactly. Perfect. Okay, so next thing, the section, what are you in the middle of? So we just talked about tags, so I would imagine that everyone listening, me included, has a better understanding of keywords and tags, but what exactly must a listener do to make sure that they can be found in all the local areas that they desire, their service area? For example, let's say I live currently in Phoenix, but I'm interested in finding customers in the suburbs of Tempe, Mesa, Scottsdale. What do you do?
Got it. This is an easy one. This is one of those things that could be really hard, but the Internet makes it easy. All you do is you go to this website, go2468.com/zip, Z-I-P. So go2468.com/zip. And when you get there, it's a little place called the 5-Minute Site, and all you need to do is enter your zip code at the top and then a radius. Like, if your service area that you're looking to be found in or the area where you'd like to get customers from is 10 miles radius or 20 mile radius or 100 miles is the maximum that they'll allow, just stick it in there. So what I did is I just put in my zip code, I put in a 20 mile radius, and then I click the button and I look down at the bottom and it will tell me the name of every little town or community that's within, in my case, a 20-mile radius, plus the zip code. So here I am in Tucson, and it tells me Tucson, Mount Lemmon, Catalina, Cortero, I don't even know most of these places, Rolito, all of these places are there, plus all of the zip codes. In one click, I'm able to have a list that I can now combine with my keyword phrases so that they become local. That's what I'm going to want to optimize my web pages for. I would do carpet cleaning, and I would put Mount Lemmon if I was interested in customers from that area. So this is just a little tool that's going to give you the localization elements that become part of your keywords. Now, this does cities and communities and zips. The other type of localization element that you're going to need sometimes is the county. Could be that you service certain counties. In order to find the counties where you're at, if you're not sure, there's another tool. It's located at go2468.com/county. Again, go2468.com/county. And if you go there, you'll be able to find very easily all of the counties that are within your service area, and then those can become part of your keywords. Now, by the way, when you get into the report, you're going to notice that the actual URLs are the web addresses to these tools and services are different than the ones I'm giving on the phone. And actually, there's a lesson to be learned in that. For example, sometimes if you have a web address that's really, really long, much too long to put on a business card or much too long to tell someone over the phone, you will often need to convert that long URL into a shorter URL. And, for example, the little county tool to help you find where your county is. I'm looking at that thing, and you'll see it in the report on page, I think it's page, oh, gosh, I don't have the page number in front of me. But anyway.
Like 14 or 15.
Yeah, somewhere around there. It's number 5. That URL is looks like it's probably 100 characters long. I mean, there's no way I would read that to you here over the phone or to a customer if I needed to have a customer go to that page. So what you can do, if you ever have a long URL that you want to use in your marketing, is you can go to the service that Joe and I set up, which is called go2468.com. You just go there, open up an account, it's free, and if you have a big old long URL, you stick the long URL in there and you associate it with some little short word, and it will convert that long URL into a short one, and what this is called is a redirect. So when you go to go2468.com/county, that's short, and it's easy for me to convey over the phone or put on a business card or in an ad. But if you go to that link, it redirects to the longer link that indeed is the real link.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Okay, so we got that one. So your next section is Go Fish. And so anyway, this has to do with what you just mentioned. Everybody in the last couple of years has been talking about Web 2.0. It's on the cover of a bazillion magazines. And so for the listeners, what exactly is Web 2.0, and can we use it in our marketing strategy?
Okay, this is one that confuses everyone, and in fact, I'll never forget after I finished doing my 17-month tenure as marketer and driving the campaign for The Secret, I had someone come up to me and they said, wow, you know, I really liked some of the Web 2.0 strategies that you were using for The Secret. And I was sitting here thinking to myself, what the heck are they talking about? I mean, I had no idea. So I went and did a search online and looked up Web 2.0, and sure enough, that's what I was doing, but I didn't even realize it. So let me, which just goes to show you that you don't have to know all these fancy terms, but I'll share with you what it is.
Cause yeah, you know what I think a lot of fancy terms are created by? I think they're created for ways to just keep people in a state of confusion so that they can figure out how to charge them money for shit that they can do for free.
Well, I'll tell you, Web 2.0, it just doesn't give you any clue about what it is.
Yeah.
Here's what it is. Somewhere along the line, people building and running websites figured out if they would allow their visitors to add content, that it was a great idea because it's a lot of work, as everyone knows, in keeping fresh new content on your website. What do you want to do? Go hire a bunch of authors and writers and copywriters and be paying them to put content on your site all the time? Heck no. Everybody said, why not let the visitors add content? When the website owner passed the pencil over to the visitor, that's when Web 2.0 basically was born. It gives the visitor the power to add content to a page or to a website. If you go to Amazon.com and you write a review for a book, guess what? You have engaged in a Web 2.0 activity. Amazon has passed the pen to you and said, go for it. Why don't you read this book and write a review for it? And then they turn around and use the review that you wrote to help them sell more books. Well, that's what Web 2.0 is. And so here's what's neat when it comes to marketing. There are thousands of Web 2.0 type sites out there now that will allow you to add content. So since they're wanting you to add content, why not take them up on the offer? That means that you can go to these various places, and they will actually let you write like a review on your business, or you could write tips that are related to the industry or the niche or that you're in. Any kind of content that you want to put up there is going to be good. Think about YouTube. YouTube, you know, huge, huge business. And what do? They basically allow the public to upload videos. That's what they do. That's Web 2.0. They're not putting videos up. The public's putting videos up, and they've grown to be a multi-billion-dollar business as a result of that. So what you do is you go out on the web and you find these places that will let you put content. You read their instructions, and then you add content based on what they're looking for. If you're at YouTube, you'd put up video content. if you're at a place like Squidoo, which is a place where you can just set up a single page that talks about any subject that you're really into, you go over there and you just add text and maybe some images and stuff. So,
well, wait, let me mention one thing, too, is just as an added bonus to everyone listening, this is all, everything he's saying, these websites, they're all listed in the report. All you have to do is go to the report. They're, like, right there.
That's right. I only listed maybe about a dozen or so, and there are literally thousands of them. Anytime you find a site that says, you know, open up an account, you know, usually free, and you can add your content and whatever, then you should do so. Often these sites, YouTube's a good example, will let you set up a profile page. And if you're given the opportunity to set up a profile page, take enough time to do a good profile page, because here's the way it works. Person goes to YouTube, they watch your video, and they think, wow, that's kind of a neat video. I wonder if they have any others on this topic. Or I'd like to know more about this person or the business that they're in. They will click on your profile, which becomes kind of a landing page, a page where they can find out more information about you or your business. And so make sure that you have a nice profile page set up. In fact, there's a term that's called what do they call it? Some like super profile page or power profile page. That's what I was looking for. Where if you, once you set one of these up, then you'll have the opportunity to set others up. But if you go ahead and do a good job the first time, then in other systems, when they want a profile page, you can do variations on the first one. That's
okay.
Really key in the strategy.
Well, so like Web 2.0, to give people an example, if they still don't kind of see user-generated content, you know, ethical services where someone can actually post a review,
yes,
is Web 2.0. Piranha Central, where you actually go and you post your comments and interact with other Piranha members, that is a Web 2.0 application.
Correct.
Going to my video blog, which is just at the time of us doing this teleseminar right now, you know, 6 months from now, there's going to be thousands, probably tens of thousands of people that read my blog, which will, of course, have its own separate links on different sites, but joepolish.com will be the main one, and, you know, people will be able to comment. There's all kinds of things that are Web 2.0 that you're probably doing already that you, if you didn't know what that was until just now, that'll give you a good perspective. Secondly, you know, the interview, for those of you that subscribe to my Genius Network, if you ever heard my interview with Rod Beckstrom, who's one of the co-authors of The Spider and the Starfish, I mean, we have a very elaborate conversation about Web 2.0 and how user-generated content is a starfish. It just basically,
yep,
you know, keeps growing. All right, so I'm going to go to the next.
One more thing before you go to, because this is important. People want to know, well, why would I want to go and put my content on other people's pages? And here's the reason why. Because Google and the other search engines will find your content on these sites, and those sites, the pages that you create on those sites will become indexed in Google, meaning that as your customers search around, they might not bump into your website. They might bump into a page that you set up on Google Base or a page that you set up on Squidoo or Hub Pages, or maybe they'll bump into your video. There's no quicker way right now to get on the first page of Google than to put a video up on YouTube. That's one of the fastest ways. So that's the reason that you want to put content on other people's sites, is so that Google spiders you and the stuff that you've written, not only at your site, but at all these other places as well.
Yeah, well, you know, in the section where, which is called Go Fish, which is in your report all about this, it says, you know, setting up web pages in various spots is a snap because of, you know, how easy it is, unlike the early years of the Internet when you needed to be either a programmer or designer and have a lot of money. Today with, you know, blogs and Web 2.0 in its early stages, setting up web pages in various spots is a snap, which is true. And I love this analogy you use. You said, think of your pages, your web page, as your bait and hook, while your site will be your boat. You'll use various forms of bait, and they all have a line back to your boat. And so for our purposes, this is like being handed the keys to the back door of the Internet's bait and tackle shop. We can quickly and easily turn that key and create all the bait we want and of the highest quality. not to be confused with bait and switch. It's just simply throwing a hook out to where people are fish are, and you'll pull them in. And then it goes on to say, the better your content, especially helpful stuff, the greater impact it will have on your overall strategy. So don't post junk. Post quality, helpful, informative stuff, if appropriate. Pepper in testimonials and photos. And, you know, so before you list all the places to post your content where you have Squidoo and a bunch of other resources, I wrote a little note to myself, you know, for all the listeners, is hire a person to post your content if you simply, you know, are not going to do it. The point is, though, read this part of his report, understand what it is, and then it'll open your eyes up to just how lucrative it could be and how easy it could be for you just to put stuff out there. And especially as a Piranha member, you have so much education-based stuff that we already create for you. In all the other members, when you interact in Platinum and in our coaching groups that you're seeing all the time, it's not like people are having a content issue. It's just simply doing something with all the content that we give you. So I guess the next section is become a page boy is what you call it. So, I mean, we already talked about that. So.
Yeah, that one, I think we kind of blended that together. So the Be a Page Boy part is just, there's a bunch of links that I share with you that will get you started. Those are some of the really, really top flight areas where you should try to have some content, either text or photos or videos. But don't let that list, you know, limit you. There are many other places that you can share and post content as well.
Well, what I would say, though, is if you don't go and at least use that first initial list, you certainly aren't going to go anywhere else. So the starting point is look at the ones that are listed in the report and use those. And what do you mean by a page boy or page girl? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, a lot of people think that that the Internet is all about building a site, and really it's not. Nobody searches and finds a site. It's all about pages. So one single page is really what you're doing, and you're just doing a lot of individual single pages. It's almost, again, I'll use the yellow pages. In the yellow pages, you have one page that you're on, and that's it. The difference is that in the Internet, you can have as many of those pages as you want. It doesn't mean a site. Marketing on the Internet isn't about having a site. It's about having a lot of pages.
Yeah, I'm glad you explained it. That's great, and I think that really helps clarify for a lot of people. Okay, we're doing really good timing here. This is excellent. So I will also say that if you have any questions about any of this along the way, just, you know, keep them in mind, jot them down, and me and Dan are actually going to be setting up a site specifically to ask me and Dan specific questions related to this, because I know by introducing this to our members, it's opening up a whole new area of exploration. And with anything else, there's a period of time to learn it. And I would encourage people that the best way to learn all of this is to do it. You know, the Maria Montessori thing, and who wrote, you know, started the Montessori schools, you know, wrote a great book called The Absorbent Mind for Children. And one of the things that I always remember about her is that, you know, a child doesn't learn by hearing about something. They learn by experiencing something. And, I mean, certainly you learn by hearing. You go deep with that learning, and it becomes real when you actually experience it. So reading Dan's report, listening to us on this teleseminar is much different than actually going online and doing some of this stuff. So this is one of those skill sets that comes with action, not by hearing about it. So if you do have questions, you know, they may get answered, and if they do not, if we have time, we'll answer them today. If we don't, we'll follow up the next time. So, okay, blogs. Question. Okay. Maybe, you know, most people that are on here maybe do or don't know about blogs. I'm not 100% sure. So I'd like you to explain, what is a blog? How do blogs play a role in helping people find, you know, businesses on a local basis?
Okay. Here's the interesting thing about blogs. Let's say somebody came to me and they hadn't done anything online at all. And they said, Dan, what's the first thing I should do? I would say, go set up a blog. I wouldn't say set up a website, and here's the reason why. First of all, you can set a blog up in about 15 minutes, at least have it going. You're going to need to put a little more time into it, you know, but you can have it going in 15 minutes. You don't need to have a programmer, as you add content to your blog, the blog system itself organizes it and archives things month by month by month. You'll never need a programmer. It's totally free. And built into the back of a blog is a what they call a pinging system, and that's P-I-N-G-I-N-G. Is that right? Yeah, P-I-N-G-I-N-G, yeah. A pinging system. And what that means is this. Every time you add content or make a post to your blog, the blog literally pings out to the blogosphere and out to all of the search engines that keep track of blogs, and it basically says, hey, I just made a new post on my blog. You guys come over here and crawl all around, take a look at what I did, check out my tags, and make sure that you list it in your various search engines and other types of systems out there that track blogs. So in essence, a blog has its own built-in marketing already there. So as compared to a website, which, you know, traditionally you go hire a programmer or, you know, and you get them to build it, and then it's all up, and then you're sitting there going, God, I feel like I built this at the end of a dirt road. Nobody ever even comes by. There's no marketing built into it. You've got to, you know, get into SEO and search engine optimization and going and doing all this crazy stuff. Well, blogs, they talk to the world automatically for you as you post. So that's a really cool thing. Now, the other thing that's neat about blogs, if I can remember, is the fact that you don't have to, you start with a very small amount of content and it builds over time. Whereas when you do a website, it's like, well, you got to have like 10 pages and you got to have stuff about this and that, and it takes you, you know, a month to get it all together. Well, forget that. With a blog, you just go and make one post, maybe three or four paragraphs, and you click the button and it's live. Don't think a thing about it. And come back a few days later, make another little short post, and a few days later, and make another short post. You should endeavor to make one post a week if possible, especially when you first get started. More often if you can. And then over time, it's kind of like allowing you to build a site, but you're building it one post at a time, and a post can always just be just a few paragraphs. And here's what's really neat. The search engines love blogs. And why? And this is the reason. Search engines want to deliver to their searchers new, exciting, relevant, ever-changing content. A website is generally kind of static. You know, you build it and it stays the same sometimes for 3 or 4 years, you know, in some cases. You know, Google's not all that interested in continuing to serve up this old static website, because it's just the same old, same old. They would much rather serve up a blog higher in the search rankings because the blog has new stuff constantly being added. So a blog is like the center of your marketing universe, if you want to look at it that way, not your website. Now, if you already have a website, great. Just leave it be and start a blog. And to do that, you would just go to blogger.com, which is owned by Google, and again, 15 minutes, you'll have it set up. Now, it's not in the report right as I look at it. I think I'm going to add this.
No, you have blogger.com/start.
Yeah, that's there, but another great place is WordPress.com. That's WordPress.com. It doesn't matter. Blogger, WordPress, they're both free. They're both great. Just, you know, take a quick look at them, decide which one you want, and don't think too much about it, and just go for one. And if you do this, you'll find that every time you make a post, it's going to ask for you to add your tags. No big deal, right? Because you did that back in, you know, I can't remember, step number 3 or 4 or something, where you put together your tags. That means that every post belongs in a folder, so to speak. Every post has its category. So you have to think about, okay, I just wrote about, you know, this environmental, way that I clean carpets. So this is going to go in a folder called environmental carpet cleaning, you know, or something like that. And you can associate each post with from one to maybe 3 or 4 tags. It's not just one. Sometimes it can be 3 or 4. Put those in there every single time, and then you'll be on your way to blogging. Now, just as there's Google, which kind of focuses on providing search results for websites. There is another search engine which is more focused on blogs, and it's called Technorati, TechNorati.com. Go to Technorati and do a few searches using the very keywords that you came up with in your initial research or your brainstorming, and see what comes up. And your goal, eventually, as you start blogging, will be to start coming up under those keywords and those tags over at Technorati. Also, Google does have a blog search engine as well, and I believe it's blog.google.com, but it's very much like Technorati. But Technorati is kind of the king of blog searching, and there's a lot to be learned by going over there and doing searches under the keywords that relate to your business.
Oh, perfect. And, you know, just to give people an idea of some, you know, like some people that have done really, really successfully well with blogs that you'll know, Tim Ferriss, my friend that wrote the 4-Hour Workweek, I mean, that's one of the main strategies he used to actually make, you know, the 4-Hour Workweek one of the number one selling, you know, business books in the frickin' world right now. And he's, you know, he's got a great blog at 4hourworkweek.com. You know, a guy I've recently met, just it's funny because today there's two bottles of wine in his new book that were sent to my office, which is Gary Vaynerchuk, who has WineLibraryTV.com. He's built a $50 million a year business selling wine using a video blog. It's the highest watched video blog probably in the world, and it's WineLibraryTV.com. I mean, just this week he's been on Conan O'Brien for the second time, Mad Money, Donnie Deutsch, all within the span of a week. And this is a crazy freaking guy that did this with a video blog. I had a great conversation with him the other day. I'm going to do an interview with him on how he actually did this and built this thing. And, you know, so people are, name a subject. I mean, there's blogs out there for all kinds of stuff, and there's no reason why you couldn't use this also. Okay, keep going so we stay within time frame here. You have a section number 9, which is success within is within sight. And so what's funny here, Dan, is we've spent very little time, like you mentioned, you know, it's about pages, not about a website. We've spent all this time talking about all this Internet stuff, and we've said very little about the role of a website. So can you talk about where does a website fit into this strategy?
Okay, most people listening to this call or reading the report already have a website. And so since that's the case, I wouldn't worry about it too much. We could literally do a whole session with each person on the call analyzing their particular website. And by and large, probably most of them would be pretty awful. And I hate to tell you that, but they probably are in a number of ways. They're probably not well optimized. In other words, they don't have the keywords up in the title tags and in the main headers and such on the page. The links probably are not set up correctly in order to help you with good ranking. And also, the conversion is probably not really thought through. In other words, when a customer comes to your page, is your phone number ready available? Is it very clear what that page on your site is about and what path you want the customer to take? And when he clicks a button, does he get or does she get what they expect? And all of these things, does it allow them to join a newsletter or download something? I mean, there are just hundreds and hundreds of things that we could talk about that have to do with your website. So I don't want anybody to freak out. What I would like to say is this. Let your website just kind of be and do the other things in this report. And that means instead of going in there and trying to make the old jalopy look good again, you're starting fresh and you're doing clean things, you know, and you'll do them right based on this report from the get-go and get all of that going. Now, somewhere along the line, people are going to end up over at your website, and obviously there's some things there that probably everybody can do to improve it. And so that you don't freak out about, oh, gosh, I got to get it all optimized and everything, here's kind of the magic that we'll touch upon in the next section. all of this other stuff, this Web 2.0 stuff and this blog stuff that you're going to be doing and the local, getting your business set up in local Google and Yahoo and everything, all of that is going to cause your website to begin to float up higher in the search results regardless of anything that you do on the site, because search engine optimization has two parts. There's own page or own site optimization, which has to do with titles and headers and links and keywords. And there's off-site stuff that you do, which has to do with other pages linking back to your site. Well, guess what? All of the stuff that we're talking about in this report is the other stuff, much of which is going to link back to your website. And as a result, going back to our fishing analogy, as you're putting the bait and the hooks and the lines out there, you know, the water is going to begin to rise, and it's going to lift your site up higher in the search results as well. So here's what I would focus on. I would focus mostly on looking at your page from the perspective of a visitor that knows nothing about who you are or what you do, and try to think through what it is that it needs to say in as few words as possible, what it needs to look like without getting real fancy or high-end, that would cause that person to like you, trust you, feel that you're the company that's going to provide just the solution or service that they're looking for, and then give them a very obvious, clear way to get a hold of you. In fact, multiple ways to get a hold of you. Some people are going to want to call you. Make sure your phone number is above the fold. They don't have to scroll to the bottom to get it. Make sure it's big enough so they can see it. All right. Make sure that your email address is there or a way for them to email you. Make sure that if you've got a newsletter or something that you can give away, that you put that on the page, because you would like to get them to subscribe or get their email address so that you can begin to build a relationship with them, maybe by dropping them tips or how-tos or information or your consumer awareness guide. Let them, you know, give you their email address so that you can send that to them. You want to focus mostly on what that page is saying, because it, back to our step number one, the page is what's going to allow you to enter the conversation that's going on in their mind or solve the problem that they're confronted with, and assume they don't have much time. They want to get to the solution really quick. Don't just spend hours explaining a bunch of stuff. You can have an area that's for articles and how to, you know, off to the side, but on your page, make sure it lets them know what to do. And then here's another tip. Assume that every single page in your website is a landing page. Assume they're not even connected. If a person lands on the page number 3 in your site, assume that that's the only page they're going to see, so therefore it needs to have a call to action, a clear path for where you would want them to go. Your phone number, your email, everything needs to be there. Never think that someone's going to come to your site and kind of just explore through it and read all of this stuff. They don't do it. They're going to go to one page, maybe two, that's it. So, and you don't know what page they're going to come to, you know, first. Don't think that people come to your homepage first. That may not be true. Many times, Google may list one of your interior pages under certain keyword phrases that your customers are searching for. So they may end up on page 10, where maybe it's your testimonial page, maybe it's a page that's got a map to your business. Whatever. Make sure that you've got all that information on every page. And then here's a little subtle tip that just came to, there's so many things, but sometimes people print your website. And I want to tell you one of the biggest oversights is this. If the web address of your site is not on the page, what happens if they print your page, set it aside, come back a few days later, and then they're reading all about what you do, and they can't even figure out how to get a hold of you? They don't know where that web page was. So if they print it, a lot of times they don't have the web address unless you print it on there. So it's a good idea in the footer of all of your pages to actually have your complete web address there as well.
Hey, let me ask you another question about that, because that's a great point. You know how a lot of websites where you print them and then it cuts off at the edges?
Yep.
Why does that happen?
because you're not on a Macintosh.
No, no, seriously, for all the people that are out there, what do they need to do in order to make sure that their website is even printable?
Well, there are, you know, print this functions that are supposed to, you know, give a printable version, and I do know that sometimes it doesn't print properly. Sometimes that's a printer thing and a computer thing. Sometimes it's a programming thing. You know, that's one of the things where you need to either get with your programmer, your site developer, whoever set up your site, and make sure that if somebody clicks the print button, that the results that comes out of the printer is indeed, you know, what you're thinking it should be. And if it doesn't, if it bleeds off to the edge, then you need to, you know, have your developer, your programmer, reformat the page so that it'll fit better.
Well, the point about that too, which I think is important, is that, you know, I know it's a discipline for me where I'd much rather look at other websites than look at my own. You know, you just, there's a side to me that I just want to set it and forget it, you know, and not have to look at it again. And, you know, the thing is if you really want your stuff to perform, you got to pay attention to it, and you got to look at it. You got to put yourself in the position of the mindset of your client that is looking at this. And, you know, there's a book called Don't Make Me Think about setting up, you know, a website. And the thing I like most about that book is the title, you know, because it's like you don't want people to have to jump through hoops. And if our whole goal here is to create an elf business, easy, lucrative, and fun, you know, we have to use the tools in our toolbox in a way that make it easy, lucrative, and fun for us, but also for our clients.
Yeah, you know, at the bottom of every one of your pages at your website, you have your address, you have your phone number, you have everything down there. I know because I've gone there a lot of times, and again, jump into mobile a little bit. I'll be off and about on the road, and I do have Joe's cell phone number, but I don't have his business phone number in my mobile phone. I haven't for a good while, and I go, oh gosh, I got to call you know his office. I would go to his website on my mobile, and then right down at the bottom of his web page, he's got his phone number, and on a mobile, I can just click the number and it dials it for me, and bingo, I'm there. So think about that. Think about where a person might be when they need your services. If a person wants to have their carpeting done and they're at work and they can't use the phone, maybe they step outside and they use their mobile phone. And so you need to have your phone number on your pages. One more thing on printing. I think it's great to encourage people to print your web page or your site. And a lot of them won't do it on that, just that little bitty, you know, print this page, you know, link that sometimes you see. If you have a page that you really would like people to print, right up at the top in big letters, you know, if you're looking for great carpet care, print this page. In other words, tell people clearly what you want them to do. And you know what? A certain percentage of people will print the page just because you made that a directive up at the top of the page. And once they've done that, they've got it, and they, you know, even say print this page and file it under this or whatever. Don't assume that people will just do what you want them to do. You need to tell them what you want them to do.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And, you know, one thing I learned about putting even a phone number on there is that, you know, whenever people call me and say, well, you know, what's your address? I want to send you something. Or what's your phone number? I'm like, you can always find my address and phone number real easy at joepolish.com. And, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times just not even having to hand out a business card or something. Just go to joepolish.com. It's, like, right there.
Okay, and one more thing, Joe, on the website before we go on. If you don't have a website, I know I just assumed most people did, but if you don't, you can go to Google, and they will allow you to set up a website for free, and you can do it pretty quick. It's kind of like doing a blog, only it's a website. And the address is go2468.com/Google site. Go2468.com/Google site. Even if you have a site, guess what? You can have two. So you could go over there and set up a site on Google, and then you can link the two back and forth, and that leads us into our next topic.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you. And, oh, you know, one other thing I just want to say about phone numbers, because we're in a service business. So many people talk on the phone and stuff, and I very much am a believer in this. You know, Tony Hesch, who's the CEO of Zappos.com, Zappos.com, they're now reached $1 billion in sales selling shoes. And I met him at a conference, and he's agreed to have me do a tour of the facilities with all my Platinum Plus members if I want to coordinate that. So I'm thinking about doing that in a future session. One of their main criteria is plaster their phone number on every page, so it's people, they invite people to call them, and they invite people to call them 24 hours a day. And if you want to go through an experience, I would encourage everyone just to order a pair of shoes off Zappos. I mean, it is amazing. He's even had people test he can order pizza off Zappos if you want to, because their focus is all on customer service. But they use the website as a way to give out their phone number and link people, so they actually call them and provide amazing service. I mean, you call their phone, they have, like, the joke of the day. I mean, it's an experience. So, like, go to Zappos.com and just check it out. I think it's freaking hysterical, and it's a really cool company. Okay, we are now at the time, Dan, so we're going to have to whip through this, because not only in your report do you give 10 things, which you promised, but you also do a nice thing, and you actually add a couple of bonus things. So we'll go through these things quickly, and I will again mention to everyone listening, go through the report. Everything that we've talked about is laid out step by step in detail there. This is just tying it all together for you. So, tying it all together, link it all together. I guess that's the name of the section. So I'm sure people listening are beginning to see how all of this does tie together, but so that you're really clear, can you tell our listeners exactly how all of this should be linked together in ways that you have not done so already?
Okay, here's the way it works. In order to move up the ranks in the search engines, they pretty much look at who's linking to you. If there are a lot of people linking to you, Google says, well, must be a popular or good site. Why would there be so many people linking to your page if it were lousy? So the logic is, the more people that are linking to you, the higher you're likely to rank in the search results. So since you're going to be setting up pages on various Web 2.0 locations, like Squidoo and YouTube and Hub Pages and all these other places, when you set them up, you need to think through what you link to. Now, here's the way it works. If someone links to you and you link right back to them, Google thinks, well, I bet these guys struck a deal. And so, therefore, they discount that by saying, well, that's just a link exchange. In other words, the only reasons that these people are linking back and forth, or these pages are linking back and forth, is because, you know, they struck some type of an arrangement. That's not saying that the site is great. What Google thinks is really valuable is when there is a one-way link where some page or some person links to you and you don't link back. So you want as many one-way links as possible. So this is pretty easy using Web 2.0. If you go and set up a page on Squidoo that focuses on your business or services or some how-to or tips or whatever that you want to put over there, you're allowed to have a link that goes from your Squidoo page back over to one page on your website, or it could be one page on your blog, or it could link over to a page that you set up on Google Base. In other words, you can link off to other pages. The only precaution is just don't set it up so that one page is linking, you know, to another, and then that very page is linking right back, because then it's just a link exchange. Now, it's not that anything bad's going to happen if you have a link exchange. It's just that you won't get what's called link love. Link love is when you have one-way links coming into your pages. So each Web 2.0 posting that you do, you think through, well, okay, on this one I'm going to link over here, and on this one I'm going to link over here, and as long as you're not exchanging links back and forth, you're going to be fine. You can also ask people in your local area, maybe other businesses or organizations that you know or network with, or anyone else that has any type of a website out there, ask them if they will link to you. And often when you ask that, you don't want to feel like a jerk and say, look, link to me, but I'm not going to link back. So what you'll do is you should say, look, link to me, like my website, this particular page, and then I'll link to you, but when I link to you, I'll link to you from my blog. so that it's not a direct one-to-one, you know, link exchange. That right. solves that problem.
Gotcha.
Okay, now the other thing that's critical is what's in the link. Those keywords that you put together in the beginning, those 8 to 10 keywords that are the core keywords, including the locations, the zip or the community or the state or whatever, that's what has to be in the text link. You want to have people that have a link on their site that in the clickable text that a visitor would click to come to your page needs to be the very keyword phrase that is from your early brainstorm session, like carpet cleaning, Tempe, Arizona. That would be the very words that you would that the person linking to you would need to have in their link that's clicked to come over to your page. Because Google goes to a link, looks at the words that are clickable in that link, and then they say, well, if it says Tempe carpet cleaning and it links over to that page, then that site must be about Tempe, Arizona carpet cleaning. And that's the way it works. And if you do that with all of your links, no direct exchanges, one-way links, and make sure that the clickable text includes your keywords, then you're cool. That's what's going to drive you up on the first page results in local search.
Awesome. And, of course, I would encourage people to read the report because it is all right there. So before we wrap up, you actually gave two bonus sections on the report which had to do with things that people, of course, would want to know about. One is social bookmarking. So can you what I'd like to do here is instead of going into great depth on it,
yep.
just ask people to read the report. But if you can quickly explain what social bookmarking is and why it's important.
Okay, social bookmarking is purely this. You probably remember the days when you go to a website and on your browser you'd bookmark it so that you'd be able to find it later. Social bookmarking is the same thing, except instead of it being private on your browser that only you can see, you're bookmarking something on a public web page so that other people can see the bookmarks. The advantage to that is that you can bookmark your pages at social bookmarking sites, which turns out to be the same as a link, because these bookmarks are like links to your page, and so by bookmarking your pages publicly, you're adding more link love to your site. The details are in the report.
Link love, I like it. All right.
Yeah.
And then the last one, we are here, we are at the finish line, making things click, number 12, and that's about pay-per-click. So what is PPC, as it's referred to, pay-per-click, and why should the people that are listening consider this and go to your report and read about it?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to make sure everybody doesn't think that we're talking about paper clips. I've had a few people think that. We're talking about pay per click. Every time someone goes to a search engine and clicks on a paid ad that you have there, you might pay 10 cents, 25 cents, a dollar, what have you. That's known as pay per click advertising. If you happen to be in a niche or there's a particular keyword that's very important to you and you can't seem to get on the first page of Google or Yahoo, then you should go to AdWords and open up an account. It'll cost $5 to open it up, and you can run little ads, much like classified ads in the local newspaper, only they will show up under the keywords as people do searches, and your listing will show up. People can click, come over to your site, and you only pay if someone clicks on your ad, and it'll probably cost you, you know, under 50 cents per click for most of those. Before you do any of this, I would recommend that you invest, I think it's about $17, and buy AdWords for Dummies. But both Joe and I know Howie Jacobson, great guy. He wrote this book, and it will save you a lot of money, and it'll also save you a lot of headaches by teaching you how to do AdWords smart. The main thing that you need to remember is this. When you do AdWords, you can do it on a very targeted local basis. In other words, you can run AdWords that appear on the search engines just in your local zip code area or your local city. You don't need to run AdWords all around the world if you're doing a local service business. In order to get the book, a shortcut is go to 2468.com/AdWords, AdWords.
You gotta love it. Okay, well, perfect. So in the very last page of the report, which if you have not read it, absorb it, even if you have, do it again. So you got some homework here. The homework is to, you know, list out the top three action steps that you got from this call, because there's probably a lot of takeaways. Many people probably have pages and notes or a couple pages, and if you've not been listening and you've been twiddling your thumbs or something, there's got to be at least one, two, or three action steps that can make you some money and do some good stuff for you. So I'd like you to identify the top three things that you can take action steps on. Just go ahead and write those down. Take, you know, 5 minutes or so when we wrap up here in a moment to just get it on paper and put it into your schedule. Order AdWords for Dummies by Howie Jacobson. It's a really great book. You will learn a lot. And go through the report. There's just really specific step-by-step stuff to do. And understand it. Even if you're not the one that ends up doing this, have an understanding of it, so if you do delegate it, it actually gets done. And it's also a great way to evaluate how smart the person that you're, you know, paying to do web stuff for you actually is, because if they're not doing a lot of this stuff and one of their jobs is to do it, then teach them how to do this. And if they still can't do it based on Dan's report, then I would suggest get rid of them because they're pathetic. So it's laid out here. It's easy to do. The last page says, the biggest secret I can share with you is one that one you just experienced. I promise you 10 top secrets, and yet I gave you 12. It's something I learned many years ago from the great motivational speaker Zig Ziglar. Always give people what you've promised and then some. Give people what they expect and then some. Do your very best at everything you do and then some. And it goes on to say, the strategies, secrets, and assets I've shared in this report are merely the start of what can greatly assist you in attracting the right kind of customers and clients to your business while helping you leverage the Internet in an elf-like way. But when these opportunities present themselves, it's your job to provide an incredible service and keep in touch with your customers and clients. In effect, it's your job to give this everything you've got and then some. So those are very, very good words of wisdom. It's your job. You know, we can lead a horse to water, but it's now your job to go out and do something with it. And as you're doing it and as you're out there selling things to people, it's your job to provide incredible service, keep in touch with your customers and clients, and give them everything you've got and then some. And when you can leave things better off than they were before you showed up, that's value creation, and that's what it's all about. Dan, I know we are 15 minutes past the allotted time. Do you want to attempt to do any questions, or should we just wrap it up? And I'm doing a call-in day tomorrow. I have no earthly idea if you can make it on the call tomorrow, but you're welcome to join me, and I'd love to have you if you can. It's the same time as this call today. But nonetheless, do you want to try to take a couple of calls, or should we just wrap it?
I'm available. I'm looking through my notes, and there is one thing that I wanted to make sure I gave people. We talked a little bit about mobile and mobile websites, and I just wanted to give you a link. In the event that you wanted to set up a mobile website, that'll take you about an hour, and it's free. So here's where you go. Go2468.com/mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E.
Awesome. Lisa Wagner, are you still on the line here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I apologize for not even, I've just kind of been barreling through this so that we can cover an enormous amount of stuff here and try to do it in a quick, timely manner. You know, we could have spread this thing out into 10 separate calls if we really wanted to, but I wanted to give people a great overview, let them know that it's all in the report, and there's been a handful of members that have just totally embraced this and others that, you know, still had confusion with it, which is the whole reason why we decided to have Dan as a special guest, because we know how valuable and important this stuff is. Is there anything that you wanted to ask that I didn't, or anything you wanted to talk about?
No, actually, the questions, if you want to have them emailed, we could make them part of tomorrow's call if you're available for it.
I just checked my calendar, and I am available.
Okay, cool. So we'll do this then. Let me open up the line, and if everyone could please thank Dan. I mean, Dan is just contributing his time and his energy and his knowledge and his wisdom. And I really appreciate it, and I know a lot of members, because I've heard comments from hundreds of members that just love his stuff, and I'm going to be doing a Genius Network interview with him soon. We're going to set up a specific site where people can submit questions, and, you know, I'm literally just going to do everything I can to make this as doable and easy for our clients to have Internet Elf strategies, and Dan is the man.
So right now, if anyone has any questions for tomorrow's call, they can put questions for Dan in the email and send it to Lisa@joepolish.com.
Okay, perfect. And so I'm going to open up the line. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.